You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
How's it going? It's Anthony Cosenza with the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. I hope you are doing well. It was a very interesting conference championship weekend, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit, as well as Bengals coaching news. My co-host, John Sheeran, is in Mobile, Alabama, talking. He's covering the Senior Bowl. He will be calling in to the program in just a little bit, so we'll be anxious to hear from him. And we also might be joined by an old friend, Scott Schulte. We're not sure if he is definitively going to be joining us, but he might be. We'll see. But he will be welcome on the program, obviously. So we've got a lot on tap. We're also going to take your questions towards the end of the program as well, and try and get to those. So shoot those at us in the live YouTube chat. You can text them to us, 949-542-6241. You can also use that same number towards the end of the show for calls. But for now, let's just start with texts and go from there. And, email, all that stuff. You can hit us up. We're also on Twitter at BengalsOBI, so you can shoot us a question there. We're also on CincyJungle.com, so you can shoot us a line in the comment thread there as well. And as always, as I mentioned every week, you can get this show on a number of different platforms: iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Art19. Like I said, on CincyJungle.com and YouTube as well. So we appreciate the support. There's a couple little, house cleaning items I gotta get to before we dive into everything. First of all, we'll start with a little bit of bad news and an apology from me to all of you, both live listeners and those maybe who download the show after the fact. Last week, you heard me announce that we were going to be interviewing Mark Walton, the Bengals running back. Everything was set up to go up to the day before that interview was to be scheduled. And lo and behold, the representative who set up the interview had said that Mark Walton was actually bailing on all of his set interviews that specific day. Something had come up, and I don't know what, but it was obviously something personal or professional that came up, and he just was unable to do the interviews. We are trying to reschedule that. So for those of you who were looking forward to that and were expecting that on our feed, I apologize. Unfortunately, it just didn't come to be, even though we had it planned out. Nobody's fault, really. Just, kind of an unfortunate sequence of events. But we will be getting more people on the line, Bengals players, beat writers, all that kind of stuff. We're making it a priority to get more people on this show, more guests on this show, to bring you a wide variety of content. But I apologize for that. Regardless, I hope you enjoyed the Tyler Boyd interview a couple weeks ago, and that is still on our feed. But we're going to try and get you more, and we are still trying to reschedule something with Mark Walton at some point down the road. We'll see, and I will be sure to let you know when that happens. But my apologies to the listeners out there for, if they were expecting that and did not see it. So John Sheeran's probably going to call in in about 10 minutes. So before we get to all the sights and sounds of Senior Bowl, and there's a lot, and actually kudos to my my co-host there, John, he broke some news. And one of the bits of news he broke, apparently his Twitter was on NFL Network throughout the day and all kinds of stuff. John had asked a pretty poignant question to John Gruden, the Raiders head coach, basically trying to get a gauge on Brian Callahan, the young man who was the quarterback's coach, and you know, he was rumored to be a target potentially for offensive coordinator. And as John asked Coach Gruden that question, Gruden came out and said basically that he confirmed that Brian Callahan's going to be the offensive coordinator for the Bengals. Now, I don't know. I don't think that the Bengals are in any trouble for that because they didn't announce it, but Gruden did. And so it appears that yet another young offensive mind, an unproven one, but a young offensive mind is going to be a major part of this staff going forward. So Callahan comes from the Raiders as the quarterback's coach, as I mentioned earlier. He is, his background, he's obviously the son of Bill Callahan, who also might be joining the Bengals in a similar capacity to where he's at with Washington, which is an offensive line coach. He has 9 years of coaching experience, but, you know, it's mostly as a position coach, a quarterback's coach. Now, I believe that Derek Carr, when he had some of his best seasons, I believe that was kind of under the tutelage of Callahan there. And, you know, unfortunately, it's kind of been a little bit hit and miss. Some of that has to do with Carr. Some of that has to do with the train wreck and the fire sale that the Raiders engaged in this past offseason. But he brings that fresh approach. Obviously, he's a guy who's going to be on the same page as Zach Taylor whenever that hire is going to be announced. So that is a pretty interesting hire. I think, though it's a little it's very risky, the fact that they're not bringing in really a proven offensive coordinator, a grizzled veteran, I guess, at that coaching spot, and they did the same at head coach with Taylor. You have to be pretty excited that these guys are coming from, you know, productive offenses for the most part, and they're bringing a fresh approach to the offense, a much different approach, probably a pass-happy approach, and really modernizing the Bengals offense. And you have to be pretty pleased with that. And if you're Andy Dalton, considering some of the comments Duke Tobin made at the Senior Bowl this week, that he's probably their guy again this year. I think you got to be pretty pleased with the direction of things. And, I think that this points to a much different era of Bengals football than the one that preceded it. It points to hopefully a much more exciting brand of football, one with a lot of points, one with a lot of offense. We'll see. There is a lot of risk involved because these are two young guys, two guys that are pretty inexperienced, but they are guys who bring a real innovative approach to the team and to the offense. And I think that's why Taylor is handpicking this guy. Now, Daryl Bevel was a guy that was kind of floating out there, rumored interest. Mike Sherman, father-in-law of Zach Taylor, is a guy that kind of might be out there as an offensive line coach, maybe even offensive coordinator, that sort of thing. That doesn't appear to be the case. There's even, you know, talk of his brother, Press Taylor, coming over from the Eagles. There's a lot of coaching vacancies to be filled, but as time seemingly creeps by and the Rams now are in the Super Bowl, we get little bits of information coming out about what the Bengals staff is going to look like, who is going to be part of Taylor's staff. And here's the thing, too, is you have to figure Taylor probably came into the building in his interview and said, this is who I got. These are my guys. These are the list of guys I want hired for, you know, these specific positions. We can hang on to a couple of the coaches here. It appears that Alex Van Pelt will remain the quarterback's coach. He has not been mentioned as being replaced. It appears a couple of the secondary coaches, Livingston and others, will be retained. It appears that Bob Bicknell, the receivers coach, might be retained as well. And then Darren Simmons on special teams, but there's still quarterbacks coach, offensive line coach, offensive coordinator, linebackers coach, defensive coordinator, tight ends coach. These are all positions that still need to be filled by the Bengals and by Zach Taylor. And it's a little difficult right now, because I think most people really want, especially when we're talking about the Senior Bowl, I think most people really want that Taylor hire to be announced and for the team to have, you know, the staff in place and all the guys down there to, you know, do the scouting and all of that. But, you know, it very well, their new coach is bringing Super Bowl experience, whether it's his team ends up losing the Super Bowl or wins it. He is bringing immediate Super Bowl experience to the Cincinnati Bengals. And by the way, anyone who was thinking Eric Bieniemy was going to be the hire, by now that would have been announced since the Chiefs were eliminated, so you can get that out of your mind. Zach Taylor is all but officially the guy, in case you were still in denial. The Bengals can't announce anything until after next Sunday. Not this coming one, but the Sunday after. So, it's going to be almost another 2 weeks as of this episode until the Taylor hire is official. That's interesting. Apparently, though, Brian Callahan is the offensive coordinator. Also, a couple of interesting names on the defensive coordinator front. And this I like. Not that I didn't like the Brian Callahan thing, but I've said a couple of times that I think that Taylor, being a young guy and overhauling the staff, I think he could use a couple of veteran coaches on the staff to really lean on, guys who maybe even have NFL head coaching experience. And apparently he is looking at a couple. John Fox is a guy he's looking at for a defensive coordinator position. And Jack Del Rio is another one. And both have proven to be very good defensive minds. They have even proven to be that way, as head coaches. Del Rio had a little bit of success with the Jaguars and then had, a taste of success with the Raiders as well recently. I think both of those guys are smart hires. Yeah, it's kind of going back to the Marvin mold. Yeah, Del Rio has Marvin ties, but I think bringing some tenacity, a different and well-respected name, a guy who's been an NFL head coach, to the defensive coordinator position, I think that will resonate with a lot of guys. And these are guys that know how to build a defense. So, I think that either one of those would be a home run hire. I don't know who I particularly lean towards. I guess a little bit Del Rio, but, you know, John Fox has had a lot of success as well. A lot of people, unfortunately, you know, they remember some of the issues they had as head coaches. Even though Fox took the Broncos far and took the Panthers far, a lot of people remember the big losses and some of the other issues, but those two guys have had some success in the league, and I think they would be smart hires by Zach Taylor going forward. So that's kind of what we know so far on the coaching front. On the outside, Bill Callahan might be the offensive line coach should Brian Callahan be hired. That'd be an odd dynamic to add working under the sun, but, you know, it is what it is. And if that's what seems to be the best fit going forward, then that is what it is. So, there's no real talk yet of, at least rumor wise, of linebacker coach, running backs coach. A little bit of interesting news. We did see that some of these Bengals coaches who were reportedly let go have kind of been hanging out at the Senior Bowl with some of the other coaches. So we'll see what's going on there. Vape guy, who I believe is our good friend John from Kentucky, says it feels like 1980 again. Paul Brown running things, just hired Forrest Gregg, and then in the Super Bowl 2 years later. Let's hope. Vignesh Arasu says Bengals just have to stay healthy next year. Big if. And that's another side topic of conversation. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of sway Taylor has in the form of organizational practices. Now, look, a lot of the injuries this year I get were torn knee ligaments and pretty severe things that, you know, you don't misdiagnose or anything like that. But this medical staff, even though it's been overhauled once or twice under Lewis, this medical staff has come under question before. And, you know, I think it's fair if Taylor comes in and questions a lot of practices, a lot of departments in the organization. And, you know, maybe it's that young, if they're really engaged in that young, fresh approach, an outside guy, a guy who just came from a Super Bowl, maybe he has more clout with ownership to say, hey, you know, not enough scouts. We got to have more scouts. Hey, we got to have an indoor facility. Hey, we got to honor the past guys. We got to honor the legends of this team. Hey, let's look at the medical staff. Let's make sure everything's in check there. So they gave Lewis some degree of power. It's going to be interesting to see if that translates going forward. We are talking on the Orange and Black Insider about a number of different coaching changes. And as I mentioned, I believe we have our co-host, my co-host on the line, John Sheeran, who is in Mobile, Alabama, covering the Senior Bowl for SB Nation and CincyJungle.com. John, are you there?
I am. What's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, hey, a couple of important questions before we get into anything. Number one, how's the food down there?
Food is fantastic. It was great last year, and we actually we met up with a friend and a colleague who took us to like you could tell this place, like, only the locals knew it, and it was like amazing barbecue and everything. and we were there with a Browns guy, a Pete Smith, if you know him on Twitter, and we were talking about, like, John Dorsey and whatever, and next thing you know, John Dorsey and Freddie Kitchens walks in, and they, like, sit, like, right behind us, and, like, it was, like, the most country, like, place that you can imagine, but it was amazing barbecue, and, like, that's basically what we expect with Mobile now.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you're hanging tight with Joe Goodberry. Are you guys rooming together? Did you say that last week?
God, I wish I wasn't rooming with Joe, because he's just the worst roommate ever. He's snoring, he's loud as hell, and like he just clogged the toilet like not 10 minutes ago.
Is that him in the background? Is that him in the background?
Yeah. It's his obnoxious voice.
Tell him what's up.
Anthony says, what's going on, man?
We got to get his butt on the show. We got to get his butt on the show again. Tell him.
Yeah, I don't know when Joe's going to come on the show. He ignored all my requests, and he's like, "Nah, I'm too big for that."
Yeah. You know, he got that Twitter blue check, and now he's Captain Big League.
That's what I'm saying. You can't trust people who are verified.
Well, speaking of blue checks, you might be on your way next, my friend, because you broke some big news, and apparently, I've been reading that your name was on NFL Network based on some Brian Callahan news. We were just talking about that before you came on the air here. Quickly, kind of before we talk about some of the prospects and what you and others have seen down in Mobile, your thoughts on Brian Callahan being the guy, and basically John Gruden just coming forward and saying, yeah, by the way, he's now a Bengals coach.
Well, I wanted to talk about, you know, what to expect from Callahan, because I wanted to ask Gruden about what he thought about Callahan. He had no interest in saying anything about Brian Callahan's qualifications as an offensive coordinator. He just wanted to break the news that he would become the offensive coordinator, which was fine with me, because that's how everybody knew now, and I guess it was just lucky that he happened to do it. But to answer your question, like, Callahan is almost as big as maybe even a bigger unknown as Zach Taylor is as just a play caller and a designer of an offense, because he just has experience as, you know, an offensive assistant under Adam Gase with the Broncos. He went to Denver to work with Matthew Stafford. He was Gruden's first quarterback coach with Oakland under Derek Carr. So he has, you know, a lot of experience in actually running and designing an offense. And I think it's fair to say that if the Bengals bring in Bill Callahan, Brian's dad from Washington, maybe, you know, Bill becomes the pass game coordinator, Brian becomes the pass game coordinator, Bill becomes the run game coordinator, and I guess maybe, you know, Zach Taylor calls the plays and runs his offense, kind of like what the Rams do with McVay and Shane Waldron and those guys. So I think Callahan is obviously a great unknown because he's got, you know, 9 years of NFL coaching experience, but he obviously learned a lot with Gase. He has a background in, you know, a zone scheme and working under that. So those are things that you can kind of assume will be coming to Cincinnati. But as far as, you know, how he's going to run the offense, how he's going to structure, how he's going to design it, how he's going to implement new players, I think that's a great unknown. And I think that's, you know, as equally, you know, uncomfortable as it is exciting, because it's something brand new.
Yeah, and, you know, you got to think that, you know, both guys are younger guys. Both guys have the quarterback's coach background and whatnot. I mean, you got to figure that these guys are probably on the same page in terms of what they want to do, the players they want to bring on the roster and how they want to use them. I mean, there's – just like the Taylor hire, this is another big risk, big reward type of thing. You know, I was saying before you got on the phone, John, that it would seem that probably Taylor had, you know, a short list of options for a number of different coaching positions on the team when he went into interview, and this guy probably was up towards the top of the list, you would think. And you know, there's probably some good synergy there based on the age, the background, all that kind of stuff. And I guess what you have to be excited, like you said, I mean, he's worked with Stafford under some productive, statistically productive years. Carr, the same thing. So, I mean, you got to like that, especially if you're Andy Dalton or maybe even a new guy coming in, right?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is that they might finally have some type of identity on offense, because obviously Taylor would be comfortable with Brian because he is the son of his coach at Nebraska. So I think they're going to come in with extremely similar offensive philosophies. And when you have, you know, not a lot of experience with play callers now running the offense, as long as you're on the same page and you have some type of identity that you can form with the players and then bring in the same kind of players that you want to integrate and work with, I think that bodes well. And obviously, when you're bringing in, you know, guys who aren't, you know, retreads, you know, former play callers and head coaches into these important roles, then there's always going to be some type of risk. But that's kind of how innovation kind of starts. You know, you got to find the diamond in the rough in these kind of situations. And when you have now, I think, with Van Pelt, Taylor, and Callahan, you're going to have three former quarterbacks coaches having, you know, major roles in an offense. And I think that bodes well with either, you know, getting the very last out of Andy Dalton or bringing in a new guy. So I think, you know, looking at the positives here, there's a lot to take and be excited about. And more importantly, I think the cohesion with the new guys that are coming in is something that I think is being undervalued here and could be very important.
Yeah, and one of the last coaches they brought in with a quarterback background, Sam Weich, he had a little bit of success with this team.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he had just a little bit of success. So speaking of quarterbacks, I've really enjoyed, in the limited time I've had to look at it, I've really enjoyed following both you and Joe Goodberry on Twitter and you know, your interviews and all that stuff. Really a couple of guys that have begun to stick out from what you guys have put out there recently. I guess let's start with Drew Lock, the Missouri quarterback. I didn't know too much about him. I started kind of watching some clips, and he's a real kind of excitable guy behind the under center. He kind of runs around a lot, kind of ad-libs, makes things happen. He takes some chances. I was really impressed with, and granted, small tidbits of sound bites, but I was really impressed with some of the audio I heard of him in his interviews. He seems to be a real personable guy, a real a guy that people can gravitate to. Am I wrong about that? And is that translating at all on the practice field?
No, and if Joe could hear this question, he would tell you the same thing that I would. Drew Lock is very personable. He's not formulaic at all. He takes, you know, what is given to him, and I think that's a quality that's going to make some team fall in love with him. But as far as what he's shown on the practice field, I think he's shown similar negatives that, you know, is going to create some pause about him and how he reacts to pressure in his face and the inconsistent accuracy downfield and the lack of touch on deep throws. Those are obviously some concerns that, you know, need to be monitored, but I think in general he was in a similar position to a guy like Josh Allen last year, who also had a cannon for an arm and also had, you know, athleticism to make things happen. but Allen kind of ran with the opportunity with the Senior Bowl. And right now, Drew Lock's kind of stumbling a little bit because we're seeing some of those issues that popped up on tape, but, you know, reacting to pressure in front of his face and, you know, creating outside of structure and hitting guys, you know, downfield. And some of those long throws are still popping up because, you know, these guys are talented on the outside. But Locke is definitely, you know, on the surface, like a guy that you would be comfortable, you know, leading your locker room and being the face of your franchise. But some of those, like, questions on tape and on the field, they still need to be very much ironed out. And I think he's going to have to need Josh Allen-like performance of the Senior Bowl, because if you remember, Josh Allen lit up the Senior Bowl last year and kind of solidified his stock in the first round. And I think that's something that Locke needs to do if he wants to keep his name in that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a weird class, and one where it can get a little muddy behind maybe the top one or two guys. But we've seen in recent years, we've seen quarterbacks just suddenly shoot up boards because teams always want to get that next young guy. So maybe he's one of those guys. The other guy I started to kind of get warm on up to the Senior Bowl, and now it seems there's been kind of a little bit of reviews of him, is Daniel Jones of Duke. You know, he doesn't seem to have quite the charisma as Locke, but he also, I don't know. I mean, what are you seeing from him in practices? And I mean, there's only really been one practice, I guess, that you've seen at this point, but what are your impressions of him?
Yeah, I think he kind of hit the nail on the point with the first one. He's a little bit more like kind of Eli. He's kind of like monotone, and he kind of had like formulaic like answers kind of written out. But I think he was well trained for this. And when people started, you know, throwing some interesting questions, he didn't exactly respond well to it. But on the field, you know, Jones is a much better manager of a pocket, and he'll keep his eyes downfield and kind of evade pressure. But I think most of those concerns with him in regards to just like the system that he played with Duke, and he was constantly pushing the ball down the field, and he would sometimes, you know, lack that, you know, necessary pocket presence to maybe you know, feel an edge rusher coming around the edge. And, you know, I think also in a lot of quarterbacks, at least yesterday, they had a lot of balls die in a certain end of them because the wind was picking up. There was a storm coming in from the west, and, you know, Jones had some inconsistent downfield accuracy, and he wasn't exactly driving the ball as well as I think most people kind of thought. And even some of those concerns are going to make you pause if you want to take this guy in the first round. And yeah, and he nor Locke had the production that, you know, high quality quarterbacks have, that, you know, from a college career. So that's already like a dent in his armor. But I also think that he's going to need to have a great game to kind of solidify his hype, because, you know, right now this whole crop of senior quarterbacks is looking very meh, with no one really standing out. There's not a Baker Mayfield down here in Mobile like there was last year. If anyone, you know, like maybe Will Greer showed a little bit more today than he did yesterday, because he was popping like 66 miles an hour on like on some of those throw speeds, which did not show up at all on his tape. And I think he was trying to overcompensate for that questionable arm velocity that he had on tape, and he was, as a result, a little bit inaccurate. So a lot of these quarterbacks are kind of adjusting to different variables that they weren't exactly experiencing at first. That kind of comes with it, because it's just still the second day. They had to move practices because they were expecting a storm. So a lot of things are being thrown at them at once, and, you know, it's kind of good to see how they adjust and how they continue to go up until Saturday when the game happens.
Talking with John Sheeran, usual co-host of the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. He is down in Mobile, Alabama, getting in all the sights and sounds. Really cool experience, it sounds like. And obviously you're picking up on all the things that are going on down there. Before we get to a couple of other players that, you know, Bengals fans, I guess, should be having on their radar, especially when it comes to the April draft class, needs, all that kind of stuff. There's been, it seems as if Duke Tobin has spoken, I think once, kind of some limited sound bites there, but have you interacted with any of the other staff members down there and or been hearing any other rumors, reports, or anything that you can relay to us about either the coaching staff or direction of the team or anything?
Yeah, and when I was on the field after the first practice on Tuesday, and I was looking around for you know who was interviewing with who. You noticed like a bunch of different teams. Like I think like the Redskins had at least like a dozen guys like talking to eat like 12 separate people at the same time, and you had every other team out there, and you didn't see any Bengals down there, and like they're all sitting in like the stands like together chatting, and this is when me and Joe discovered that Kyle Kasky, Jonathan Hayes, and Bill Lazor were all just chilling around there, and with reports of them being gone, it was like are they just chilling, or they're just here to be here because they don't have anybody else on that staff? And I personally have not seen them talk to anybody. I think when they do this, they're pretty close to the vest and pretty close to the chest, and not like to make this stuff kind of public. So I do think Tobin I think talked with Jeff Hobson yesterday, and maybe Jay Morrison as well. I have not heard anything about who they've met because they're obviously very private when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that they're focusing definitely on guys either edge rushers or linebackers who will provide speed, and I don't think that we can count them out of looking at quarterbacks. And I think Van Pelt was here because he's one of the actual coaches that is still on the team or is still with the staff. And you have to wonder if they're legitimately considering a guy like Drew Locke or maybe a Daniel Jones or maybe even a Will Greer, because maybe Zach Taylor wants to bring a system where you would like a quarterback that operates out of structure, even if he doesn't fit the traditional standards and thresholds of height and all that stuff.
Yeah, I've been hearing and seeing some reports on some players out there in the form of linebackers. I saw that was it Coney, the Notre Dame linebacker. He's kind of been talked about quite a bit. Is the kid from LSU there as well?
No, that Devin White's a junior.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I wasn't seeing his name, but I've been hearing Coney's name a lot and some others. At linebacker, are there some or edge rusher? I Montez Sweat is another guy I've heard about too. Over the past, over the past couple of days, are there some guys kind of in those positions that you think should be on Bengals fans' radar as this process ramps up, the combine, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think the two that stood out today in the tape that the media was granted to access today, Jermaine Pratt out of North Carolina State and Drew Tranquil out of Notre Dame. Mm. They both, switched on and off of middle linebacker or just the linebacker spots when they had the, I believe it was the North team playing the nickel defense, I believe. And yeah, they looked really, they looked really instinctive when they're going off a lot of outside runs and really scraping off the top of, second level blocking, looked natural dropping back into coverage, but just in general looked instinctive and looked like, really responsive, clicking and closing towards, open gaps and finding the ball carrier. And I think that's obviously something that linebackers of the Bengals lack at this point. But out of all the linebackers that I've seen, I think those two have been the most impressive. I think there's a guy from New Mexico State that really popped out yesterday, but I didn't get a great look on it. I know some people thought highly of him from yesterday's practice, but those two, Pratt and Tranquil, were the guys that stood out to me today.
Any sleeper guys or guys that have been maybe role players on high profile teams that maybe have caught your eye? The Renfro kid from Clemson, I saw Dabo Swinney talking about him this week as well. He's a guy that just kind of the slot guy, the guy that does kind of dirty work, a guy that's really valuable in the NFL now in this landscape. And really, Taylor coming from the Rams, he uses a lot of guys like that. The Patriots use a lot of guys of that mold and just kind of move them around a lot. Are there other guys, he's a lot of people know his name because he was on Clemson, but he's not really necessarily a superstar college player, but maybe somebody like that or guys that you just hadn't really been exposed to that you're like, oh, wow, I got to take another look at this guy.
Yeah, I'll start on offense. I think there's a couple of offensive linemen that will probably be getting more attention by the end of this week and going into the combine. At tackle, there's a guy, Titus Howard. He's an Alabama State alum. I only saw a couple games of him entering this week because I mainly focused on watching off tackles. But he had a game against Auburn where he looked like he belonged in, against playing against Power 5 competition. And in the two practices he's played so far, he's looked really good off the edge at right tackle and neutralizing some very talented edge rushers. Inside, there's a guard, Nate Davis from Charlotte.
Yeah. So
obviously, small school there.
Yeah.
He kind of he's like 6'2 or 6'3 and is got pretty short arms as well. But it honestly looks like his rear end is touching the ground when he's in that stance. And no one has been able to get under his pads. And he's plays a lot of power and a lot of torque in his legs. He's been able to pile through some holes. And I think he's going to be a guy to watch as well. And you mentioned Renfro, and he's kind of like the popular guy. There's also that Andy Isabella, another short wide receiver, but there's a guy, Penny Hart, who his school is escaping me, but the first couple of plays I saw of him, I immediately thought of Andrew Hawkins. He's like 5'8", 180, but he's so quick and sudden out of his breaks, and so natural movement, so efficient in his footwork where he doesn't have to chop his speed to enter in and out of his breaks, and he was making quarterbacks look silly from time to time, and it also looks like he has natural hands, so I think those are the smaller guys, the lesser known guys that aren't going to be the headliners, but are going to take away with a lot of positive momentum coming out of this week.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the report, John. I'm going to let you get back at it. Have a couple of cocktails or whatever it is you're going to do tonight, and hopefully you have one for me. But if not, maybe tomorrow night. And tell Goodberry to go buy a plunger for your room and. Tell him to get on the show sometime.
What was that, Joe? He says he misses you. I lied about that first.
All right, I miss you too, Joe. We got to get him on the show, man. Talk him into it. Thanks for everything, John. You're killing it, buddy. Keep up the good coverage, and appreciate you calling in, even though you've been probably working, all day the past couple of days. So appreciate it, and we'll talk. We'll catch up next week, dude.
Have a good show, man.
All right, thanks, brother. That was John Sheeran, our usual co-host, checking in from Mobile, Alabama, giving us some names to watch and giving us an update on the quarterbacks that are down there. Some of the top, I would say probably three or four of the top six, seven quarterbacks in this class are down there. Will Greer, Gardner Minshew. We talked about Daniel Jones, and then we obviously talked about Drew Locke as well. So those are four guys that, will probably be in the day one, day two type of discussion in the draft, and they're down there. And the Bengals might be, we talked about it, all these coaches now are guys that have quarterback backgrounds. So they might be looking at bringing someone in, maybe since some of these guys do have some flaws, maybe it's the John Kitna, Carson Palmer thing this year with Dalton, where he's the bridge guy for a year or two. They draft one of these guys and see what they have in them, and that's how it goes. But there's no doubt, even backup quarterback should be in play for this year. So maybe the plan is they get one of these guys as a backup quarterback. After all, Dalton has missed. He's had two of his last four seasons cut short, been on IR. So, they need a capable backup. Driscoll didn't really seem to be the guy, even though he was dealing with a lot of injuries on that side of the ball to help him out. But, quarterback should be in the discussion this year for sure. And there's a lot of interesting names down there. Our thanks to John, who's down there giving us all the scoop. You can get this show, the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. You can get it on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, on Art19. We're on YouTube. And you can also get all of our content on cincyjungle.com. You can also follow John Sheeran for his updates at John_Sheeran on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, check that out. They didn't have practice on Wednesday. They had practices on Tuesday and interviews on Tuesday. And then they should be open practices Thursday. And then the game is this weekend. So definitely keep an eye on him. And then I'm sure many of you already follow Joe Goodberry as well, at Goodberry. You heard him chiming in on the background of that call there. That was kind of cool. So follow him. Those two guys are bringing some clutch info, especially from a Bengals perspective from the Senior Bowl. We're going to get out of here in just a few minutes, but before we do, we're going to take some listener questions. We've already got a couple teed up, I believe, but if you want to try and get one in here, at the end. You can leave it in the live YouTube chat. Maybe give us a call or shoot us a text at 949-542-6241. We'll try and get to that. We do have a text that already came in, and it is from Frank in Virginia. I think the question is asking, how confident are we that Del Rio will be coming on board? If he does, I seem to remember that he ran a 3-4 defense. So that's an interesting situation, because the Bengals have the personnel for a 4-3 tradition, more traditional style offense. And sorry about that. That was the call coming in. We'll try and get to you in a sec. If you try again in a minute. But anyway, the Bengals have more of a 4-3 type of traditional defense that they run. They've got the big defensive ends currently on the roster, more of the traditional mold. Sam Hubbard, Carlos Dunlap, Michael Johnson is currently on the roster. Geno Atkins is not a nose tackle in a 3-4 system. So there's that, but there's also the idea that, Cincinnati may get diverse on that side of the ball. Del Rio did run a 3-4 a lot of times in Jacksonville, but it's more about being diverse on that side of the ball now, I think. And, the Bengals are trying to do some different things on that side of the ball by overhauling the linebacker group, probably getting some more guys. They do have kind of some pieces to do a 3-4 type of style of defense. That would be, you know, you've got your Carl Lawson, kind of the edge rusher guy that is was initially looked at or initially pegged as an outside linebacker when he first got to the team. but, I mean, he's an edge rusher. You have guys like that. But you also look at the Rams, right? The Rams kind of run a hybridish 3-4-ish, but they have Ndamukong Suh. They have Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's definitely in the mold of Geno Atkins. So, you know, Del Rio, I'm pretty confident that he could come up with a system that, you know, could suit what the Bengals have and allow them to bring in more people. We've got another call on the line here, so we're going to get to that. Hi, this is the Orange and Black Insider. Who's this?
How you doing, Terrell?
Terrell, wouldn't be Wednesday without you, my friend. How are you, sir?
Oh yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Trying to play operator, host, all that kind of stuff. So I apologize if I missed yours and other calls, but I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You and John and a couple of special guests, I mean, you the ones that make it great, though. So, but I've been trying to do a couple of scouting and stuff on my other side or whatever too. But
okay,
I do got a couple of people that I be doing this to and stuff like Mel Kiper. Though that's really the biggest one I would like. Man, y'all can hear everybody else doing okay. But anyway, I said a couple of days ago, he basically, long story short, he basically trying to say the linebacker for LSU basically the one that fall down to us, looked like he might be, well, you know, it ain't, it's all said and done, but you know, it looked like he might be shooting up past us. And then I think they talking about the right tackle from Florida. I forgot his name.
Yeah, Juwan Taylor, I believe, is the tackle from Florida.
Yeah. They say he's pretty solid and, I mean, definitely better than what we got over there. He seems like he could be a solid right tackle. But when you talk about Daniel, the quarterback from Duke, I thought he looked pretty all right. I've been watching college football, and I've been seeing him a couple of games, and I don't know if John said he kind of looked like a Eli Manning. I definitely don't want that, but I thought he was kind of like a Mitchell Trubisky or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
makes sense. Same school, same mold, right? I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah, The Bill Callahan thing, I mean, all this quarterback guru thing, I know everybody's looking for the quarterback guru type thing. The way it's looking, man, it look like they want to hurry up and make basically like jack up Dalton's talent. I mean, draft stock. I mean, basically trade stock up. But I really didn't see too much of what he did, too much of with the Raiders. But he really didn't have too much to work with for real. And I don't know what he did over in Washington. But at least Bill Lazor, the Donald Landry, and Tyler Boyd. So let's just see what he's gonna do with.
I'm sorry.
Do with John Ross.
Yeah, I mean that's the big question this year. I'm gonna take your call off the air here, Terrell, because there's a couple of prospects that you talked about that I think were interesting. So thanks for your call, bud. First of all, I misspoke. I meant when I said same school, I confused Duke and North Carolina. I know Mitch Trubisky went to North Carolina and Daniel Jones is from Duke. Same state. Come on, give me a break. Sorry. But yeah, this is the thing with Jones. I like I said when we were talking with John, he was a guy that initially I was starting to kind of warm up to, and then I kind of started hearing some reports and all that kind of stuff. About him being dry and him not maybe doing so great in, you know, practices and all that kind of stuff. But look, unfortunately, this is where we get to be a little too hard on some of these young guys. Okay, first of all, when they don't play well in these college bowl, these scout bowl games, I mean, they get a couple of practices to play together. And then they get thrown into a game to try and, you know, have a great performance. It's difficult, regardless of how good you are, okay? Number two, this whole process, combine, Senior Bowl, all that stuff, it is a paralysis by overanalysis. I mean, there are things that just, you know, Daniel Jones comes off a little dry. I saw kudos to Goodberry for asking him kind of a different question, one that was a little off script, but I saw Goodberry ask him a question, and he didn't really have a great answer to it. I think it was about batted passes at the line. So, you know, there's some red flags there. But, I mean, overall, you know, you got to look at the tape. You got to look at how he did against, you know, some good type of competition. You got to look at some certain statistical areas, completion percentage, turnovers, all that kind of stuff. And you know, size, you know, that's something to think about. So, you know, in terms of Jones, he's a guy that, you know, he'll be in that first round conversation. He may, with combine and all that kind of stuff, he may be a guy that shows up and all of a sudden catapults himself into that top 15 without question, maybe even top 10, especially for teams that might be starved for a quarterback. The Bengals might be one. We don't know exactly where Zach Taylor's mindset is on that. Duke Tobin came to Andy Dalton's support this week in Mobile, but, you know, who knows? There's also Juwan Taylor. That is a guy that has been recently mocked to the Bengals at number 11. I think that's a little bit of a reach. He is a true right tackle in the NFL. It is a need for the Bengals. The Bengals have, you know, a need at right tackle. Bobby Hart is not the answer, obviously. So that is something to think about. I personally have some other people I may have ahead of him, but even Jonah, I believe it's Jonah Williams, the kid from Alabama. He had a rough game against Clemson, and yeah, it's Clemson with their great defensive line, but you're going to face that kind of competition almost every single week, almost every single game in the NFL. So, you know, if he's not going that great, if he's not doing that well against that kind of competition at the college level, that's a little concerning going forward there. There are a number of different players that are linked, you know, and then there's the LSU kid, the linebacker. I understand that linebacker has kind of become a little bit of a lower premium type of position in today's NFL. You want kind of those hybrid safety linebacker guys. Your Mark Barons, the Nykel Robies, and all those guys. But there is a need for a savvy veteran linebacker to anchor your defense, and Roquan Smith is definitely an example, and his impact on the Bears this last year is what is a prime example of that. We've got another call on the line. We're going to get to that here, and then we're going to get out of here. So let's grab that. Hi, this is the Orange and Black Insider. Who's this?
Hey, it's John from Kentucky.
John, another regular. How are you, sir?
Thanks for taking my call. Seriously, listen, it is a new dawn in Cincinnati, as you can see. I do think you're going to be getting a lot of calls to your podcast. I'm just going to I will volunteer if I can help you guys in any way. Call screener, you name it, anything.
I appreciate that. I might need that.
Shoot me an email or whatever.
I appreciate that. I might need that. You know, it I John and I try and manage how we all the other stuff, the responsibilities, but rounding up guests and answering phones and hosting it's a lot to juggle. So I may hit you up for that, John. I appreciate that. But what's on your mind tonight?
Well, everybody's talking, new quarterback and whatnot. Look, from what I heard from Duke Tobin this past week, he's not real big on finding a quarterback just yet. He seems to want to stay with Dalton, but he's very interested in increasing the speed of the offense and getting better players on the line on both sides of the ball. So we'll just see how that plays out. My prediction is I don't think they move from Dalton this next season. I think they're going to let him play his contract, and they are looking for the quarterback of the future. But Dalton, with his stats being that he's been injured very little, being that this division is as smash mouth as it is, I don't think they are ready to just boot Dalton right out the door and take a risk on a rookie just yet, especially with Dalton still under contract.
That's a good point. And also, I mean, you got to look at the landscape of this division. Yes. The Bengals split with the Ravens, and the Ravens kind of had an upward swing when they made a move to their quarterback. Yes, same thing happened with the Browns. But then you look at the Steelers. I never count them out fully, but they are a bit of a mess right now on a number of different fronts. And all teams, if I remember correctly, I think it was 9 or 10 wins by the Ravens that ended up winning the division. And, the Browns, the Steelers, and the Ravens were all kind of neck and neck as the season got, wore on. The Bengals, they stay healthy. They make some changes, especially amongst the coaching staff and at head coaching. They get a couple of other nice pieces, help out the offensive line. I mean, all of a sudden this becomes a wide open division again. I want to say this too. You mentioned speed on offense, and that's something Duke Tobin is looking at, John.
Yeah.
You look back to Jared Goff's first year, rookie year. Granted, he only started 7 games, but 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Well, what have the Rams done the past 2 off seasons? Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, Josh Reynolds. They add receivers upon receivers upon receivers and guys that can do, Higby at tight end. And lo and behold, and also, some stuff on the offensive line, Andrew Whitworth being one. But lo and behold, Jared Goff, second year, 28 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Third year, 32 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. So it's not rocket science that yes, the arrow is trending upward in terms of superstardom for Jared Goff. I do not put him in the same stratosphere as a Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, or others. What I do put him in as is a very good quarterback that has an outstanding supporting cast. He could elevate into superstardom, but the Rams, you got to give him credit. They brought a lot of help to him, and that raised his game. Well, he did raise others as well, but that's something you got to look at, especially in this process, the scouting process, I think, and you mentioned that about Duke Tobin talking about getting faster on offense, potentially adding more pieces.
Yes, ex- Exactly. And another thing, too, everybody is always saying, well, Dalton's only as good as the players around him. Well, what about the coaches? You know, how good is Dalton with different coaches? Now, that we absolutely have got to take a look at before you just get rid of him. As I said, he needs to play under this new coaching staff and see what he's done, what he can do. His stats have been too good in Cincinnati to simply, like I said, take a risk, you know, on a rookie immediately and go ahead and cut Dalton. I'd cut Drake Kirkpatrick in seconds. Well, I would cut Andy. Well, I would.
No, I know.
I would Andy Dalton.
Yeah, no, I got you. I'm laughing because I know your thoughts on Drake Kirkpatrick. Hey, quickly before I get you out of here, John, just to get you before we get you out on the out of here, I want to tell you about Drake Kirkpatrick's stats in case you haven't looked them up recently, my friend. This last year, 2018, zero interceptions. Okay?
No interceptions.
Zero interceptions. 2017, one interception. So in the past 2 years, he's played 27 total games and has had one interception. So.
And what is his salary?
I mean, I don't have that offhand, but it's relatively high.
I think it's like $50 million. I could be wrong.
Well, my point is you know, I talked to you about, you know, we joke about Kirkpatrick and your thoughts on him, but really he is not pulling his weight. I mean, that's what, especially in we can sit here and bag on Terrell Austin all we want, but his defense was supposedly, you know, made to create turnovers, and he wasn't even doing that then. 2019, his cap hit is almost $11 million this next year, John. $10.9 million, according to Spotrac. So there you go.
$10.9. So that would free up a lot of money just by cutting him.
Yep, but then they also need to, you know, think about re-signing Denard and others too. But, John, we're going to get out of here. I appreciate your call. Thanks. We'll hopefully talk to you next week or in the near future, my friend.
Okay, I'll be in touch.
All right.
Thank you.
That was John from Kentucky calling in again. Thanks to our callers, our texters. We've had a lot of questions. We're going to get out of here again. This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. I'm Anthony Cosenza. You heard earlier from my other co-host, John Sheeran. Unfortunately, we didn't hear from Scott Schulte. We thought we might. But he is probably going to be joining us at some point here and there, especially as the draft comes in, because, you know, he wants to talk Bengals. He's excited about things, too. He and I exchanged texts there. But our thanks to John for calling in while he was at the Senior Bowl. No rest for the wicked there. You can get this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Art19. We're also on YouTube, and all of our stuff is on cincyjungle.com. My thanks to all of you out there for your patience tonight. I was kind of juggling a lot with the phones and all kinds of things, so I appreciate your patience and maybe some extra little sound effects and whatnot that made it onto the program, so I apologize about that. But, hey, we all deal with it, right? So appreciate the support. Appreciate you tuning in and get the show how you can. We'll see you next week, if not sooner, should some news break. But keep it to cincyjungle.com for all the news, opinions, analysis. And the Super Bowl can't be completed soon enough so the Bengals can get their new head coach, right? See you next time.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form
the Shutdown Fullcast.
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
Bears in video games.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts or coaches making terrible decisions or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.